Now, when I first got here, I presented a series of lessons on trying to look at ways in which we can teach people about the gospel, teach people about salvation, and teach people about things of the Bible using the same methods that Jesus used. Jesus spoke to the people in parables. And so what we need to do is not necessarily modernize it, but use language which people are familiar with. And even the example I'm using tonight might be a little bit dated because it's been a long time since I've done these. But anyway, I think it's appropriate. It follows the same pattern. So God knows me better than I know myself. And usually people are going to think otherwise. But that's not the case. God knows everything. And he knows me better. He knows what makes me tick. And so he knows what's good for me. And the thing about God, he has already provided everything I need. The question is, will I use it? Here's the example. When I was a kid, I loved to build model airplanes. I'm sure a lot of you did too. You'd get your allowance, you'd run down to the store, you'd find an airplane or a car that you really liked, you liked the picture on the box, I'm going to build that. So you paid your 93 cents and got your model airplane. Well, early on in my model building days, I was often so excited about a new model that I would tear into the kit and start gluing pieces together without looking at the instructions. You did too. Yeah, I know. We all did. But it didn't take long for us to learn the meaning of the old adage, when in doubt, read the instructions. Now, sadly, by the time we glued a few pieces together, it was a little bit too late. We'd have to wait for our next allowance to go and get it so we could do it right. But anyway, I royally goofed up a couple of good models before I learned to start following the blueprints. I mean, they put these things in there. They give you a list. Here's what you do. Step one. Step two. Step three. If we've got furniture from IKEA, you know this how this works, doesn't it? Yeah, you lay everything out. You got piece A, piece B, two pieces of D, and then C, and all that stuff. You know how it works. It's all there. And then what do? You start putting it together, right? No. You go to the instructions, and you go to step one. And you find the pieces they say, then you put that together. Then you go to step two and step three. If you follow the instructions, you're going to get what you paid for. You're going to get a piece of furniture, if that's what it is. You're going to get a piece of furniture that really conceivably could last a very long time. Because it'll be there. It'll be made properly, assembled properly. That's what we want. But like a lot of people, I just skip a few steps. It'll still look okay. Doesn't always work that way, especially when you have these little plastic airplanes. So we goofed up quite a bit on this. So we came to realize that the creator of the model knew far more about how it was intended to go together than I ever would. So whoever designed this furniture knew how to put it together and even gave me the instructions how to put it together. So if I didn't put it together properly, that's on me. That's not his fault. That's on me because I didn't follow the instructions. And then you call up IKEA, hey, this thing looks funny. Well, did you follow the instructions? It's probably the first thing they say. Well, no, I didn't think they were important. Now, does that make sense? Okay. We also learned that the person who built the model, who put this piece of furniture together, included the instructions to help me build a beautiful model or a beautiful piece of furniture. That's what they did. It was to assist me because they didn't have a finished product. They had all the parts there, and it could be a finished product if we followed the instructions. So that's what they gave us. He gave us the instructions. And the reason they gave the instructions is not to hinder or to burden me with rules of successful model building. He just simply laid out, here it is. Now, what you do with it is up to you. Now, some of you probably see where I'm going with this. But we're going to make a spiritual application from this little example of model building. And the intricacies of model building, we understand. I mean, you follow the instructions, you put it together. Once it's dried, then you can paint it, or you can put the stickers on it. Or if it's a piece of furniture, yeah, it's ready for use. Whatever the case is, we're going to make a spiritual application from this because there are rules. The point is, since God is the one who created us, He knows better than anyone else what makes us tick. He knows what we're all about. Each and every one of us. And everybody likes to think, well, I'm unique. I'm just one of a kind. Nobody else in the world like me. God still knows what makes you operate. He knows what will make us happy and what will make us sad. He understands those things. He knows what is good for us and what's not in our best interest. Sometimes He even tells us those things. And how does He know? Because, let's face it, He has been through what we've been through. Wait a minute, God did that? God created me? God made me to function a certain way? He's been through it? Well, yes. We'll see that in a little bit. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Okay, we don't have somebody who can sympathize with us because they don't know us. I mean, I remember as a kid, well, actually a teenager, back when I knew everything, okay? I was a teenager. My mama doesn't understand me. She doesn't know what I'm going through. You know, after you break up on your first love interest, you break up, nobody knows how I feel. And those of us who have experience, I like saying experience rather than old age, but those of us with experience, yeah, we've been through that. We've probably had worse heartaches than that. And we know they're going to get through it, just like we did. But our high priest is not one who doesn't know what our feelings are. Some people say that about God. Well, God, He's all high and mighty. He's up there sitting on His throne. He doesn't know the garbage I'm having to put up with. Well, yes, He does know what we're having to put up with. Because He's experienced it. How? It's through Jesus. Jesus, our high priest. He came to this earth. He shed His glory and He came to this earth willingly for our benefit. And He's taken that information that He has learned and put that in writing for us, and it's in our Bible. So we can follow His blueprint for life. That's one way of looking at the Bible. That's what it is. It's an instruction manual. It is a blueprint. It is a set of instructions on how to. And all the how-tos it applies to is numerous. There's many how-tos. How to live, how to get along with others, how to treat others, how to be faithful to God. All of these how-tos, He has told us how to do them. And what that can do will create a beautiful model of human happiness, peace, and hope. And for the most part, it works. Now, there might be an occasion where the good person suffers at the hands of somebody else. But generally, overall, if we try to be at peace with all men, people generally leave us alone. Let us go about our business. it will always be far better than trying to stick the pieces together without reading the instructions. See, that's like somebody who wants to live a religious life, but yet they never open up their Bible. And they continue, we go to church every Sunday, and that's all I need is just a little bit of church every Sunday. And I don't need this instruction book telling me how to live. Now, how far do you think that is going to get you? Well, I can tell you what it won't get you. It won't get you to heaven, okay? And there's only one other alternative, so you know where it's going to take you. So, we need to read the instructions. And we should be convinced that God knows what's best for us. Not some of the time, or even most of the time, but all of the time. He knows what's best for us. And he has been repeating that since the days of Moses. See, Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him and serve the Lord our God with all your heart, with your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes which I am commanding you today for your good. We've repeated this time and time again. For your good is mentioned about seven times, eight times in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's there. And it's usually accompanied with the instruction to keep the laws of God. Do what he tells you to do. It's for your good. If we take God's instructions from the Bible and apply them to our life, that is for our good. Now, we might sit back and think, okay, well, all my buddies are out there. They're out there partying and having a good old time. And here I am sitting in church. It's just not fair. Well, don't look at it that way. That's got the wrong attitude behind it. Seek God. Put his kingdom first in your life. And God's going to take care of you. He'll give us what we need. You know, there's a lot of things that we do which are not really for our good. There's a lot of stuff that we do foolishly. Like driving real fast. When you get your license, you get out there, well, I want to see how fast I can go. And you get out there, maybe on the freeway or maybe on the back roads, and you think, I can make this curve at 70 degrees or 70 miles per hour. It don't work that way. If you survive, yes, you're lucky. I had several friends growing up. Some of them weren't so lucky. They thought they could do it, but they didn't. They didn't follow the instructions because the sign said plainly, don't go around this thing faster than 35. Well, I can double that. It didn't work, and there's a reason for that. So the instructions that are given to us, even the signs on the highways are given to us for our good, for our safety, for our protection. And so what God gives us in his word is for our good. It should be a great comfort to know that the strength to overcome any temptation, the power to bear all trials and solution to every problem can be found within the sacred page in our Bibles. If we will just take the time to carefully read, study, and meditate upon the instructions of God's book. Notice 1 Corinthians 10:13. Says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Yes, we can handle whatever comes our way. And God's going to make sure that we can. So Peter wrote that through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord, all things have been granted to us pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need to know. See, notice there in 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. All right. He's given us everything. And some people try and go through this life without taking advantage of that. And then they wonder why they have problems in this life. They wonder why everything goes wrong all the time. Well, they're not following the instruction manual. And note that it's some things, it's not some things, but it's all things. Everything that we need pertaining to salvation, eternal life, and living a godly life, He's given us everything. He didn't withhold anything. You know, when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he says, I did not shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And I didn't hold back anything that was profitable for you. God has given us these things that are profitable to us, if we will only take advantage of it. And God didn't leave us to flounder in the dark, nor to muddle through life on our own, sometimes without a clue as to how to proceed. Well, if He didn't give us any instructions, that's exactly where we would be. But He has given us these instructions. He's given us this blueprint. He's given us the plans. And He's given us the pattern that we talked about this morning. He's given us that pattern. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That's what His word does. It guides us. And the Bible is a treasure house of the ages, the storehouse of true knowledge, and the repository of divine wisdom. Doing it God's way is much better than doing it your own way. Just let the Bible be your blueprint for every nook and cranny of life, and the results will overwhelm and amaze you. When you finally put off yourself and put Him first, it is amazing how your life will be transformed and how it will be so much better. You'll look at things a whole lot differently if you do so. You know, every now and then we come up, well, I've got problems in my life. Well, duh, who doesn't? Everybody has problems in their life. And everybody has drama in their life. We got drama queens all around us, and we got drama kings out there all around us, and we have people picking on us, and we have people making fun of us, and we have people who despise us, and the list just goes on and on. What's the answer to that? Take it up with Him, with God, who said, call to me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon God. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Do you have a trial which seems unbearable? A lot of people go through things, and there's a lot of emotional stuff out there that people just get overwhelmed with. A lot of people decide, well, I'm going to commit suicide. A lot of people take their life because they just can't deal with it. Put our burdens on Him. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Peter said, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And is there some temptation nagging you which seems irresistible? I know as a youth there's a lot of temptations out there, and there's a lot of pressure to be a certain way around your peers. But you need to be very careful, because that can get you into trouble. By all means, seek God's help. As we said earlier, He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able. So if we give in to whatever temptation is there, it's not because we weren't able to handle it, because we chose not to give it up. Every sin we commit is a choice. It always has been and always will be. Some people want to use the argument, well, I can't help it. Well, yes, you can. God gave you the ability to help it if you want to. Another question is, have you lost your way in life? What's this life all about? Some people trying to figure that out. But the answer is staring us right in the face. Seek the source of life who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. See, God created us in his image. Genesis 1:26. God gave us everything we need, including the instructions. See, in order to live on this life, yes, we need oxygen, we need the sun, we need water. There's a lot of things we need. But the great thing about it is he gave us the instructions to go along with it. So he really does know us better than we know ourselves. He made us. He gave us our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts and our understanding. And he knows what our thoughts are. He knows every thought and intention of our heart. And that's described many times in the scriptures. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Sometimes we start thinking that, well, I know myself. Do you really? Not as well as God knows you. Because God knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're going to do. Sometimes we're sitting around there like a chick with a head cut off, have no idea what's going to happen the next minute or so. God already knows. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows our potential. Maybe we haven't learned that yet. We have the potential to be a helper to anybody. We have the potential to lead others to Christ. We have the potential to be a great servant of God. He knows what that potential is. And sometimes we haven't found that yet. But it's there. His way is best all of the time. Because he really does know what makes us tick. Consider those thoughts. Now the question is, are you willing to consult the directions? That's what we ask you to do. To obey the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you can have salvation. You do that by hearing the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sins, confess his name, and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. You'll wash your sins away in that process, and then God will add you to his church. Then once we become a member of his church, we've got to work very hard to be faithful to him. And if we're not, then we need to ask for forgiveness. So we're going to offer an invitation. If anyone needs to respond to that gospel account, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.